I don't know, but there's, in my opinion, probably nothing worse than getting a phone call about 2 or 3 in the morning. It's never good, is it? Never. Never good. And as a pastor, it's probably what I dread more than anything. In fact, I'd rather have a prank phone call at 2 in the morning or even a wrong number, because usually it means very bad news. Someone sick, probably even died. And I pray to God that I would have the strength and the wisdom to say the right words, because I know that the person on the other end of the line is probably heartbroken. Well, if you've ever had that phone call in the middle of the night, then you know exactly what Jesus was going through. You see the context of our gospel for today. We have this beautiful story of the feeding of the 5,000, but we don't know, or maybe we have forgotten, what has led up to this great miracle. Jesus gets the proverbial phone call in the middle of the night. His friend, his cousin, the forerunner, the person that knows him better than anyone else, has just died. John the Baptist. And not just died, but murdered. King Herod had him killed, cut his head off. And now emissaries come to Jesus and the disciples, and they tell them that Herod now wants to see Jesus. I don't think it's going to be a social call to you. And so, as we begin our message, please know this: Jesus knows how you feel. Not only in this instance when you get that phone call, but in any instance where you are afraid of what the future might be. Now, for Jesus, things have gone from calm to chaos in a split second. And so he does what many of us would do. He wants to get away. He gets in the boat along with his disciples, and he says, let's take some time away. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman. Those of you who have been with me know that I am not much of a fisherman. But what I do enjoy about fishing is the quiet and the solitude, except for that annoying guy who always talks while he's fishing. And I thought fishing was just to get out there and have a little quiet so that, you know, the lapping of the waves against the boats, the birds and the tree. That's what Jesus needed at this time. A little retreat. Time of prayer and solitude. But more than anything, what he needed was the reassuring voices of those, and especially the one who loves him. I'll tell you a little story. It was 26 years ago, about this time. I had just moved to Atlanta from St. Louis. I'd taken a call there to a new church. And I went down early and I stayed with the family there in the congregation for about a month. Sharon and the boys were still back in St. Louis. Now, it wasn't a time of chaos necessarily, but it would have been a time of crisis if I hadn't called home every night. So I did. Mainly just to hear the voices of the people that I knew loved me the most. Now, usually Sharon would answer the phone, and we would just talk. No major decisions, nothing life-changing other than to hear her voice. But every now and then, little Andrew would answer the phone. Now, Andrew, my son, was about 3 years old. He's always been very verbal. And sometimes he would answer the phone, and our conversation would always go like this. He'd say, "Hi, Dad, what you doing?" And I would tell him what my day had been. I had gone to a board meeting, or I met with the elders, or I'd just been stuck in traffic for 2 hours, which was not uncommon for the commute back in those days. And no matter what I said, boring board meeting, elders meeting, visiting someone in the hospital, stuck in traffic, Andrew would always say, "Oh, that's good." It didn't matter what the news was. "Oh, that's good." And then that would really be the end of our conversation. He's, after all, 3 years old. And then he would always say, "I love you, Dad," and blow me a kiss over the phone. There are times when we just need the voice of the people who love us. And that's what Jesus was doing after this horrible, horrible news about John the Baptist. He just needed the reassuring voice of his Father in heaven. And so he went and he prayed. When we have problems, and so often we are overwhelmed with the problems of this world, and, well, let's just do this. Turn to the person next to you and say, "There are problems." Can you do that? "There are problems." Yeah, and then turn to the next person and say, "I hope you're not that problem," right? "I hope you're not that problem." Sometimes, though, it is, isn't it? It's the people closest to us. And we have family problems. And we have private challenges. Maybe things aren't going well at work, or maybe it's a medical issue. But we all have problems, and we get overwhelmed then, so much so that we don't take the time to talk to the people who love us, and especially our Heavenly Father. But the point of all of this is simply when, just like for Jesus, and so often for us, when all hell breaks loose, know that all heaven draws near. That is when our God can be the closest. Now, as we continue with our story here, Jesus now arrives at the shore. He has been in the boat. He arrives now at this solitary place. But the crowds have followed him. The news has followed him. People are literally walking miles around the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus sees this hurting crowd. They are disabled. They are diseased. And they're lost. And they know that Jesus has something that they need. He has good news. And he can heal their hurt. Jesus looks at this crowd, and one of the other gospels says, it's like he saw sheep without a shepherd. So he has compassion on them. His heart literally hurts for them. I'm reminded of a story that shows a little bit about this empathy that Jesus has. There was a little boy, and he always had wanted a puppy. And so he goes to the pet shop, and the owner there shows him this whole litter of puppies. He's got a box in the back, and there are all these little puppies, just gorgeous little puppies. Their eyes are not yet open. The little boy picks up each one of them, holds them in his arm, and he sets them back down, and then he finally says, "All right, I know which one I want, and I'll be back when I have the money." And the owner says, "Well, don't take too long, and these are gorgeous puppies. They're going to go fast." And the little boy, he goes out right away, and he starts finding chores in the neighborhood that he can do. He weeds the sidewalk. And he finds some aluminum cans, and he takes them to the local store to get the refund. He washes windows. He does whatever anyone asks, and it wasn't long. And he collects the money, and he goes back to the store, and he plunks down that wad of cash. And the owner sorts through it, counts it. "Yep, you have enough. All right," takes them to the back. "Here are the puppies that are left. And he picks up one, a little crippled puppy with a limp leg. And the owner says, "Oh, you don't want that one. Take one of the healthy pups. That one, he'll never be able to run. You can't play with him. He'll never fetch. Take one of these." And the boy says, "No, this is exactly the kind of dog I've always wanted." And he turns and he's about to leave, and the owner, he wants to say something, but then he notices there, as the boy is walking away, his trouser leg rises up a bit, and he sees the brace on the leg of the boy. Why did the boy choose the crippled puppy? Because he knows how he feels, and he has compassion on him. He sees just how special that puppy is, and that is what our God has done for us. He sees your hurt, and he has compassion. He knows how you feel, and he says, "You are special. You are precious to me. So precious that he would become like you, so that you might come to him in the time of your hurt. You are so precious that he would suffer your hurt and die on a cross for your sin." Jesus wasn't finished, was he, helping that day? After speaking to the crowds and healing their physical maladies, he had even more to give them. And we know this story so well. We've heard it hundreds of times. It's late in the day. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, "You know, it's been a long day. You've been teaching and you've been healing, and you still have this heaviness on your heart from losing John. Just send them away. I mean, come on, how much more do they need? What more could you do?" And Jesus says, "No. You find them something to eat." And they return then, right, with the five loaves and the two fishes. And we know the story. Jesus takes it, and he blesses it with the grace and the strength of his Father in heaven. And then he breaks the bread and he begins distributing all of this. And we're told that there are 5,000 plus who are fed. Now, there are scholars who will say, you know, this isn't really a miracle, because back in those days, everybody carried extra food with them under their cloak. Little ham and cheese sandwich in my pocket. And some scholars would say, you see, this was just the very first Christian potluck. Everybody chipped in. And I say, no, absolutely not. Because our God, our Lord, is a God of miracles. Make no mistake about it, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there was enough food for literally 10,000 people. And there was enough left over that each of the disciples took one of those baskets, much bigger than what we take an offering with. Maybe we ought to use a bigger basket. I don't know. That's how much was left over. So why should we be surprised that our God does miracles? 1,400 years before this, God took his people and he led them out of slavery from Egypt. And he parted the Red Sea to protect them from the Egyptian army. And then when they were in the wilderness and they had absolutely nothing, no bread, no fish, bread literally rained down from heaven. And when that was not enough, he brought quail as well. And it wasn't on just one occasion, but God fed them, and not just 10,000 people, but over 600,000 people. Every single day for 40 years. So what do you think? Can God take a little bit and turn it into much? I think so. And if this isn't a great enough miracle, here is an even greater one. God has taken the spiritually blind and helped them to see. God has taken those who are dead in their sin and made them alive in Christ. God has taken literally nothing and made it into something for all of eternity, because that is exactly what he has done for you and for me. In our conversion, when we were hostile to God, when we were his enemies, he changed our heart to make us obedient disciples. In just a minute, we're going to see a video. I don't know, did you notice it was a little different up here today? The whole point of Vacation Bible School . We use a different theme every year. This year it was True North. Jesus is our guide, our compass in life. He points us to the love of his heavenly Father here on earth and forever in heaven. But it's always a question of why, regardless of whatever backdrop, whatever props that we use, the message is always the same. It's all about how much our God loves us. And because our God loves us, we know that we can trust him. Our God has had so much compassion on us that he sent his son Jesus to become one of us. He knows exactly how you feel when you get that late night phone call. When you're overwhelmed with all the demands of the people around you, he's been there, done that. When people take more from you than what they give back, yeah, he kind of knows what that's about. When you have teenagers who don't listen to you, yeah, he had a few disciples like that. His compassion then becomes real in his journey to the cross, in his death, and finally in his resurrection and his sending of the Holy Spirit so that he lives with us even now. He's done it all because he loves you. And in the future, when you are at that point, when you are afraid of an uncertain future, all you need to do is look back at all these beautiful and wonderful stories, but even more, look back on your own life. When he was there and you were hurting and he healed your spirit and your soul, he's done it for one reason, because he loves you. And because he loves you, you no longer have to have this thought of being afraid or there isn't enough. Because with God, there is always enough and even more of whatever you need. Amen? Amen. This morning, then, we're going to watch a short video.